Let there be light. In today's readings, we hear a lot about light and about joy and about grace and about us following God's word. Mary brings to us some lessons today that some of them which we'd like to hear and some which are a little harder sometimes to swallow. And they are very applicable to us in this time and this place, as, of course, we're celebrating today, because we have light and we have steps. Harvey, I hope you walked up them this morning. You danced up them. Wonderful. Even better. And I won't have to catch people falling out of the church this morning. You'll be able to walk down all by yourself. And so there is good news today. And in the midst of the good news, we also remember that there is life. There is life that goes on outside that we are now going to see, and it will see us. And there is life that, as much as there is joy and grace and favor today, there is also for some sadness and deep darkness, and we're not to forget that either. And hopefully the light that shines in our church will remind us of the world that is just outside those doors and is also here within each one of us today. Now, Mary. Mary, indeed, doesn't actually do anything to get this great gift that is given to her, at least maybe a gift. Mary is just a person, a woman, a young woman living her life. And she is, she finds out, favored by God. She is held in high regard by God. The angel Gabriel comes to her. She doesn't go looking for the angel. God seeks her out. And it's important to ask, would we really want to seek out God if we were given the option? Because after all, not all the messages that are delivered are received with joy and delight. But I think it's really important for us as the people of God in this day and this age to remember that we are regarded by God. We are honored, and we don't have to actually do anything to get that gift. Each one of us and every person has been born into this world in the image of God. And sometimes it's hard to remember that. It's hard to remember when someone acts in ways that we don't appreciate or that are cruel. It is hard to remember that whenever we do not feel like we are worth much. But we must remember on today of all days, as we approach the Christmas season, that we don't need to actually do anything. We're already loved. We're already held in God's palm. We are already favored. We are already well regarded. Now, the second thing that Mary teaches us, or at least shares with us, is that she is perplexed. No kidding. First of all, she's carrying along with her normal life, and second of all, an angel chooses to visit her, and of course, he has some news that she may or may not want to hear. But when the angel comes first, he just says, "The Lord is with you." Really? I'm a little confused. All right. And perplexity is something that happens when God shows up. Think of a time whenever you were surprised by God showing up in a way you didn't expect. Maybe at the time you didn't even know that's what it was. But later on you realized that God indeed had been present. You might ask the question, why me? Why now? What on earth? And I think we underestimate the impact of what it means to know that God is actually around, here, now, with us. I think it is very fitting that the first event, so to speak, that happened with our new doors was a funeral. On Friday, we celebrated the life of Sabine's mom. And it was the first gathering of people in the church with the new light and the new doors. And how fitting for us to celebrate the life well lived of a light full of light and, of course, darkness, as is all of our lives lived. But to have the family and friends gathered here and to really honor exactly what Mary teaches us, that we're all favored. We're already there with God. And as I celebrated the Eucharist, and of course everyone faces this way, except today you'll understand, choir, as I celebrated the Eucharist on Friday, I looked out the doors. It's hard not to when you're standing looking at them. And I noticed a man standing on the other side of the street waiting for a bus. And he kept checking, I could see, to see if the bus was coming. But for the entire Eucharistic prayer, he watched me. I actually am sure it's quite a distance that we had eye contact. And it was startling to me to think, here we are in this church celebrating someone's life, and there's the life of a man outside waiting for a bus who's being touched in some way by that. What a gift. What a reminder that God is around. God is here, whether we acknowledge it or not. I mean, really, doesn't God have better things to do sometimes, you might think? But no, God is right here in our lives every minute. Mary also asks a very important question. How can this be? Now, I know that I would certainly be a little surprised if an angel appeared, first of all, and I knew it was an angel. The angel told me that I was well-favored in God's sight without having to do anything. The angel reminded me that God is right here, right now, and then told me I was going to do something quite ridiculous, quite extraordinary, quite unbelievable. I would be a little perplexed. And I have been, and I expect you have been too, at times when something has happened that you thought, that is impossible. How can it be? I'm pretty sure that about 18 months ago, no one would have thought that we would have achieved what we have so far in this church. No one would have anticipated the joy that we felt this morning. And no one can anticipate what this will mean for our life. It's perplexing. It's amazing. And as it says, everything is possible with God. So Mary gives us a great favor today because she asks a really important question. How can this be? Because we need to ask those questions. We need to ask it in terms of justice when something is wrong. How can this be? How can we let this be? We need to ask it in questioning, in wonder. How can this be? And we need to ask it in, how can this be? I can't even imagine it. And so we are given a question today that's really important. And the next thing Mary does is she makes a commitment. Despite all of that, she stands before the angel and before God and says, here am I. I'm here. God chooses the unexpected. And at the same time, Mary, not knowing what to expect, it all sounds a little strange, a little wild, and has no idea, she offers herself to God. Wow. Thanks, Mary. Mary is a witness for Advent in our lives to move us beyond just our day-to-day sort of moving through the world and reminds us that we can be honest and truthful, and it marks time for us, her response, and helps us realize the activity of God in our lives is nonstop. I read something somewhere yesterday that said, you know, God probably acts in your life many thousands of times a day, and you might notice three. I think one is probably more likely, perhaps none on any given day. But it's not easy for us to believe that that is the case, but it is. And Mary, through her questioning, her horror, probably, and her joy in the end, has given us the grace to move forward, to make Advent not just 4 weeks of the year when we're busy doing a whole bunch of things, but to make it something that helps us anticipate always living in that way. Always living knowing we're held in God's hand, always living knowing that we are favored. always living being perplexed and surprised and amazed, and always living asking, how can this be? And maybe most importantly, here am I, and what can I do? So today we embark on Christmas coming this week, but we as a parish do embark on a new chapter in a way, because we don't know what this little renovation means for us. We already know some things. It's brighter. It will be warmer once we have some weather stripping and glass. It already is. There are no snowdrifts, at least today, blowing in the door. But maybe in some small way, being St. John the Evangelist takes on a new meaning. Because to be an evangelist means to share the word, to share the word. And I can assure you that we can no longer do that just by being in here by ourselves. We are on the world's doorstep, and the world is on ours, our little world, here on Elgin Street and Somerset Street, where people are going to ask questions, they're going to be perplexed, they're going to want help. And I need to tell you, they're already doing that. When the doors are put in on Thursday, I said to Warren, once I realized they were there, have a couple of people mentioned anything? He said, a couple of people? I can't get it finished. The entire street is coming and wanting to look in. And yesterday, when I saw him briefly, he said, I was here by myself, I was putting on something else, I was finishing it up late the other day, and a person came along who I suspect was probably Muslim and looked in and said, I have lived in this area for 25 years and I have never seen the inside of this church. May I come in? Warren said, I probably shouldn't let you in, but of course. And as he finished his work, this man came in and was just astounded by the stained glass and what he felt in this place. And so we need to understand that it is going to change things for us. And Gay sent me an email late last night from Frida, one of your former Christian education directors, who wrote, a people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Wonderful. That light is going to be shining in and out in a marvelous way. Enjoy. So maybe like Mary, the light can be a bit startling sometimes. The light can make us ponder, make us be perplexed, and make us wonder, and sometimes make us afraid. But if there's one thing I know about this community that I have learned, is that whatever it is, we'll do it together. And that we will always be held in the palm of God's hand. Amen.